Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
In the Gospel according to John, chapter 12 and verse 32, we find the words of Jesus when he said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This is not the first time that Jesus spoke of being lifted up. Earlier in chapter 3, he said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." I want to point out, right at the beginning of this message today, that no matter what we do, no matter what the world out there does, Jesus is already exalted and lifted up. He was exalted and lifted up when he came down into this earth. The heavenly host praised God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Jesus was exalted and lifted up in his birth. He was exalted and lifted up in his miracle ministry. He was exalted and lifted up when they put him on the cross. He was exalted and lifted up when that stone rolled away. And he arose victorious over sin, hell, and death. Jesus was exalted and lifted up when he ascended in glory and power. We read about Jesus being lifted up in the ascension in Acts chapter 1. Look at this. "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" I have some good news for you today. Jesus is coming again. It could be soon. And when he comes back, he is going to be exalted. He is going to be lifted up, as every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. I remember hearing the story of a man who was visiting in New York City for the first time. And so he's walking along the streets there, and, you know, surrounded by all these buildings and so forth. And so he just stopped on the sidewalk there, and he started just looking straight up. Then someone else came along and wondered what he was looking at. So that person looked straight up. Pretty soon there was a small crowd there, and they were all looking up. Finally someone said, "What exactly are we looking for?" That's the way the world today, they're looking in every direction, looking for the answer, but they're not looking up. We look up. We're looking up because we know what the answer is. Amen? "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." We're looking up, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's our hope. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is exalted. He is lifted up. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Are you weary today? Have you become weary? Have you become discouraged in your soul? Look, if you just look around, if you're just looking around, there's nothing but problems. There's all kinds of problems in this world. If you look around at all the things, most of which we cannot change, we have no control over, we need to start looking up. That's our hope. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is still exalted. He's still lifted up. He's still the answer. He's like a mighty magnetic force that's drawing people to himself. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. You know, I was looking this week at John 12:19, right there in the same chapter there. And I started thinking about the Pharisees and the religious leaders. You know, they did everything. They did everything they could to keep people from being drawn to Jesus. They tried every trick that they could possibly try to keep people from being drawn to Jesus. How many of you know today that you cannot fight against God and win? It's impossible. And so I love this. Look at this. So the Pharisees said to one another, here they've been trying to use trick questions with Jesus and trying to trip him up and trying to say he was, you know, whatever they wanted to say. But so the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. They finally came to the conclusion, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. The whole world is being drawn to him. As we go into this a little bit further, I would like for us to consider the person, the power, the people, and the purpose. There's my alliteration 4-point outline there, and I want to get right into this. Let's consider, first of all, the person. Who is it that does the drawing? Who's drawing? It is obviously Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. There's three things I want to say about this. Number one, Jesus is the Christ of creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. I want to tell you today, maybe you're visiting today, you were created for him. You will never be fulfilled in your life until you come to the realization that he is the creator. You were created to have a relationship with him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Paul the Apostle, he went into Athens, and here you had all these intellectuals, philosophers, and they were worshiping all kinds of things. And so Paul engaged them. And he said, you don't even know what or who you are worshiping. And I just want to read some of this from Acts chapter 17. Paul says, I proclaim to you God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. For in him we live and move and have our being. He is the creator, and Jesus is able to draw his creation to himself for that reason, that he created all things. Number two, Jesus is the Christ not only of creation, he's the Christ of crucifixion. Now, I gave you the verse that I'm preaching from, John 12, 32, but the very next verse, verse 33, it says, "This he said, signifying by what death he would die." And so this is in the context of the cross. Jesus was lifted up on the cross. Paul said, "We preach Christ and him crucified." We're not preaching good works. We're not preaching religion. We're preaching Jesus. We're preaching the crucifixion. "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Number three, Jesus is the Christ of conversion. Because you see, when someone's drawn to Jesus and they come and they say, "Yes, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sin." Something happens. There's a transformation that takes place. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Has that happened in your life? I was looking at the words of a song that said, "The only man-made thing in heaven are the scars on his hands." And so, we looked this morning, number one, the person who draws. Secondly, let's talk about the power, okay? The power. I could talk this morning about Jesus drawing people by his sinless life, by his divine love, by his perfect sacrifice, all of that. But I want to key in on three sources of power here. Number one, Jesus draws by the power of the Spirit. John 16, it talks about the Holy Spirit has come. Jesus said, "If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit's not going to come." But he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then Jesus said this in John 15, 26, "But when the Helper comes, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." The number one job of the Holy Spirit is to testify of Jesus. Now you say, "Pastor, you know, I've heard of people talk about the unpardonable sin, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to tell you what I believe. And I've mentioned this before. You could think about this. If you have some other theology or some other thought about it, share it with me. And if you could convince me otherwise, what are we talking about here? The Holy Spirit came to testify of Jesus. The thing that keeps a person from being forgiven, as I was preaching last Sunday, is unbelief. I believe blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the rejection of the Holy Spirit's testimony of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit testifies to the human heart who Jesus is, and a person says no and doesn't receive, how can that person be forgiven? The sin that leads to death is the sin that you won't allow God to forgive. How can God forgive sin if we don't receive the sacrifice in the cross for sin? Jesus is the only answer for the sin problem. Amen. Well, you think about that. Number two, Jesus not only draws by the power of the Spirit, Jesus draws people by the power of the Scriptures. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Where the church has gone wrong is when people start parsing words and getting into the weeds, and then they start watering down the Word of God. You have to begin right there. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. There's nothing like the word of God that can get right down into the inner recesses of our lives. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But no, the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why I tried, with God's help, to preach the Bible, to give God's word. All through history, there are numerous examples of God using the word to reach people. And then we read in James 1:21 that we are to put aside sin and evil and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. I'm talking about the power that Jesus uses to draw people to himself. Here's the third thing. Jesus draws by the power of the saints. That's you. You see, the word saint isn't a word for perfection. That's not what that... The word saint is a biblical word for every believer at any stage of maturity. Romans 1:7 tells us that we are called to be saints. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, he was talking about the fivefold ministry, pastors, evangelists, and so forth. And he said, these have been given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. You have a part in drawing people to Jesus. Amen. Look at this. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe that? How then can they call on him, on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us, the saints of God, he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And here's the command for us. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our commission. That's what we ought to be about. Okay, my third point. So, the person, the power, the people. All people. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people. I want to ask you a question, okay? That phrase, that little two little words there, all people. How do you interpret that theologically? I'll tell you how I interpret it. All means all, and that's all that all means. This doesn't need any theological interpretation. All people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, Jesus is the answer for this world. Today, He's drawing the whole world. He's drawing the rich and the poor, the young and old, the educated and uneducated. He's drawing all people to himself. And no one is too good for God, and no one is too bad for God. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about there when you say no one's too good for God? I want to tell you what I'm talking about there. You will never be good enough for God. Okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you take the most moral, upright person on the face of this earth, whoever that may be, that person without Jesus is no closer to salvation than the most wicked person in the world. What I'm saying today, and you need to understand the gospel here, you're either on one side of the cross or the other. You're either on one side of the blood or the other. I'm so glad they sang that song, "There's Power in the Blood." Are you resting in the crucified? He who has the Son has life. 1 John 5:12. He who does not have the Son does not have life. John 3:17, right after the verse, John 3:16. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe in him is condemned already. There's no in between. There's no gray area there. You're either saved or you're not saved. And God has given us everything we need to understand the simplicity of the gospel message. I am so glad today that Jesus bore the cross. And I'm so glad that in God's wisdom, he arranged it to where Jesus would be crucified between two criminals. And I'm so glad for the story of the thief on the cross, because no one is too bad for God. And here you have the thief on the cross. Think about this. I just love the fact that God allowed that to be there. Because the thief on the cross, he couldn't get down to be baptized. He couldn't get down to do good works in penance for his wicked behavior. He couldn't get down to join a church or to do religious works. But he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Folks, look at this. Look at this thing that I wrote here, okay? The only reason anyone will be in heaven is the man in the middle. That's it. Jesus. There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, Jesus said, I will draw all people to myself. So what is the purpose? I'm going to be very brief here, come to a close here in a minute, because I want us to have a time of ministry. If you have a need in your life, if you're not saved today and you'd like to be sure and have assurance. But here's the purpose. The purpose is salvation. The purpose is no condemnation in him. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We read in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he is also able to save. He's able. No matter what you've done, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I wonder today, as we prepare, I'm going to have some of our musicians come up right now and begin to play for us as we get prepared for our altar service. And I'm just wondering, has he drawn you today? I can't look into your heart, Has he drawn you? Is he drawing you today? You know what? Here's a good verse for you. James 4:8. Draw near to God. You remember the rest of that verse? Draw near to God. What will happen if you draw near to God? He will draw near to you. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," it's not all God. God's not just going to overtake you. You have to do something. You have to open the door. If he's drawing you today, I pray that you would open the door to him.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through his word. Blessings.